Hello. I would like to welcome everyone who's joining us, whether from Palestine or abroad. This workshop, we're going to talk about the interpreternship's role. And first of all, we start by with may all the martyrs rest in peace, and also may all the injured. My name is Yaqeen Al-Yamani, founding member of Jericho Cinema Club. I would like to welcome all those who have joined us and those who are currently joining us from Palestine and abroad in a seminar on the role of social entrepreneurship in times of crisis. The seminar today will be recorded and will be published on a Build Palestine website and on social media platforms. For everyone who's joining us, please share your questions in the chat box and we'll address them at the end of the webinar. In this webinar, we will discuss the role of social entrepreneurs in finding solutions to societal changes during crisis, especially during crisis. We will also address the difficulties faced by social entrepreneurs, the resource constraints and security concerns they have, and share. Also, the speakers among us will share inspiring stories of innovation and resilience and highlighting the transformative impact of community-based organizations on conflict-affected communities. Also, we will ensure that the participants will also explain the importance of community leadership in promoting sustainable development and positive change, even in the face of adversity. Today, we're hosting Ismahan Alayan, the founder and CEO of Tilla Cultural Center. Ismahan is an expert in marketing and communication. She has a master's degree in strategic marketing. She's the founder of Smart Art and Tala Cultural Center. Prior to that, she worked for about 18 years in various international and UN organizations in the field of sustainable development. Ismahan has 12 years of experience as a trainer and consultant and is a member of several international organizations. She has also served as a coordinator and member of various prestigious awards committees, including the Youth Collaboration Award in 2018 and 2019. And the Holt Award in Birzeit, at Birzeit University in 2015, and the University of Jerusalem in 2022. Also, we are going to introduce Majd Mandara, co-founder of Hakini. Hakini is a company that provides mental health and well-being services in Palestine and the Arab world. And she has previously worked as a consultant in various positions with local and international companies and organizations. Sundas has several activities which have support for mental health and psychology, and that has made her found the company of Hakini, which is supporting many people in the Arab world. Her name is Sundas, I apologize. Also, we have Mr. Rafiq Hamawi, member of the Meqla platform. Meqla is a platform created by volunteers for the entrepreneurial sector in Palestine and the diaspora in response to Israeli occupation's aggression on Gaza. Meqla aims to provide reliable sources to support advocacy efforts for Palestinian human rights. It also bases all its work on credible resources to ensure that the voice of Palestine is heard. They make sure that they provide a dashboard that allows visitors to read all the numbers related to the war outcomes. Also, they gather sources and readings and data and influential figures in coverage of humanitarian and human rights situation in Gaza. And they monitor and host the efforts of fact-checking platforms. I'm very happy to have you all among us. Especially, I would like to also thank Build Palestine for this opportunity, which they for giving us this floor to join together and exchange our expertise together today. I welcome you all, and I welcome everyone who has joined us. I would like to start with Sundus. Sundus from Hakini. If you may tell us a bit more about Hakini, please.
Of course, I welcome you all and I welcome everyone. As you've mentioned, my name is Sundus. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Hakini. Hakini is a platform, electronic platform to provide mental health services in the Pan-Arab region. We provide a holistic approach. First of all, we start with the very first, which is awareness. By providing the content and then preventive measures and then automated services. And the third level is considered advanced, which is treatment through one-on-one sessions with the specialists. And we provide services to individuals as well as organizations. We provide whether in person or online workshops and webinars and seminars. Of course, Hakini has been established about 4 years ago and as an idea. And nowadays we have our own platform, we have our website, we have an app on phones, and we serve several people from various Pan-Arab countries. And even we have various experts, not only from Palestine, we have Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, UAE, Saudi Arabia. And we also have many Arab communities, whether in the UK, in EU, or the United States, are joining as well. How did you decide to create Hakini?
Hakini was, first of all, the idea was based on just a few years ago. I really needed mental health support, and I realized how hard it is to access such support. And at the time, it was also part of a stigma. A person would feel shy to mention that they need these services. However, once I started to do so, I realized that this is not only about stigma. There are lots of problems relevant to lack of access to psychosocial support. If we're talking about 1.6 billion people require mental health, and only 67% are unable to even attain these services. So in the Pan-Arab region, unfortunately, the situation is worse. The figures are a lot higher. 80% of people are in need of these psychosocial support, and we only have 20% of people who receive these services. And of course, the reason is not only trauma and not only stigma, I apologize, stigma, not trauma, such as issues. The numbers of psychologists or psychiatrists are quite less than the number of specialists needed. Also, they need the human aspect or human intervention who's supposed to provide this. So it's not really automated, or it cannot be available anytime, anywhere, such as recorded sessions or other matters. We realize there are lots of problems, and that's what we have tried to cover through our services and through Hakini through having a holistic approach that I have discussed, which covers several levels. Thank you very much, Sundas. Now I would like to hear more about Talib. Maybe she can give us an introduction. Hello, best of health to everyone. My name is Esmahan, as you have mentioned. I'm a founder and CEO of Talib Cultural Center. We are part of Smart Art. Smart Art was established in Jerusalem in 2012. It's been quite a long time since we were established. We've been working in the field in entrepreneurship with women. I have walked with over 100 women through their journey in entrepreneurship. One of them has received the $1 million award in the MIT world. And my office was known for anyone in Jerusalem who wants to work in entrepreneurship, especially women. My doors were wide open. Also, some of the gifts that we give to the organizations, usually they're handmade, and unfortunately, that we used to give out were made in China. So we started thinking about a gift from Palestine, which would be of a better quality and would also be more personal to represent Palestine, where Palestinian organizations could use. So this was quite a long struggle because all the organizations are looking for something that's cheap, not something that is of value. And if we were to ensure that we support women in Palestine to help them with unemployment, whether it's in war, pre or post COVID, so women have become a main cornerstone in the Palestinian economy, especially those working in craftsmanship. We as Palestinians were either employees or persons working in agriculture. Just a small number are working in agriculture or cultivation, and very few are working craftsmen. And what we're doing is has become, this craftsmanship has become a trademark for our resilience, because each piece of work that we make handmade and is delivered anywhere worldwide shows a story about a resilience story of the many resilience stories in Palestine. At Talle, we were working on various aspects. The very first is to train women on various vocations which were not well known, or those which might be affected, or which might be and we started marketing these products internationally. Not only do we provide job opportunities, we also help them, help these vocations which might be extinct soon. We try to ensure that we revive them. We work with over 80 vocational workers. I hope that they are safe and sound now in Gaza, considering the situation. We have lost contact with many of them, with the majority of them. The ones who we actually got a hold of are very devastated. They cannot talk about anything. They lost their sewing machines. Their raw materials have been lost. And of course, their lives and the lives of their children are at risk. And also many of the entrepreneurs that we work with on the Palestinian vocations were in Gaza. And unfortunately, they were stuck, and we're trying to support them, to provide them, such as Hakini, the work that Hakini should do. So we're trying to support each other. We're trying to talk to women and try to see how can we support them, or what could we do to support them overcome this. Also, women in Turkey, they were very kind enough to take care of them while they're in Turkey. As you all know, the pain is quite big, especially at during such times of crisis. The situation right now, all walks of life are affected. Thank you very much, Asmahan. What you talked about, the importance of the role of women and their role in vocation and craftsmanship, is very important, and how this is important in anything that we do, in every thing we do. It's very important to resemble and represent Palestine. This is actually amazing. And by this, I'll give the floor to Rafiq Hamawi to tell us more about Mekla.
Thank you very much, and we thank Build Palestine for hosting and organizing this. I actually salute them for changing their webinars to make it into three subsequent webinars. Being flexible and dynamic is very much needed in such a situation. We work on studio in order to create monitoring the digital trends in order to see what are the trends that are available in social media in Palestine. But I'm not going to take much more of your time to discuss this. We're here to talk about entrepreneurship, about Miqla. It's Linkshot.ps. Linkshot is an attempt to facilitate the efforts of people to stand in solidarity with Palestine. We are going over the trending content on social media, and we try to gather it all in one place in order for us to amplify the efforts of advocacy and solidarity of human rights and citizens' rights, especially Palestinians. And the second part that we're trying to do also, which we're trying to put all our weight on, is to provide accurate information, especially on the facts and figures, whether it's the martyrs, the injured, casualties, the infrastructure, destruction, the educational or health, facilities which have been destructed or put out of service, due to the atrocities, and the number. Whether the information that we see from Telegram, Instagram, or Facebook, or various other media platforms, either the numbers would be exaggerated or not really accurate. The numbers would not be checked. So what we try to do is we gather our information from various sources, mainly the Ministry of Health, OCHA, CPJ, which are known for monitoring the journalists' status worldwide. And then we try to put it all at once. And Friends of Palestine, who are trying to do any work, they try so for them to be able to receive accurate information on a regular basis. Additionally, this platform is trying to solve the problem: which voices should we actually follow, or which ones should we amplify? And of course, we need to make sure which voices are being amplified and so on. So we gather the voices, whether they're doctors or journalists or activists in Gaza or content makers or those standing in solidarity with Palestine, whether they're Palestinian or not, who are doing as much as possible to support the solidarity of Palestinians. The last part that we work on in our website is trying to combat any false information and false news, especially those which are actually legitimizing. We're not talking about wrong information, but we're also talking about any kind of information that legitimizes for Westerners or Israelis to devalue the value of Palestinian lives and therefore incite against Palestinians to say whether Palestinians deserve to be displaced or deserve to be killed. So just to summarize, this platform puts all the issues and trends about Palestinian cause in one place, so you'd be able to understand what's going on, or the facts and figures that you need about the current situation. So Miqla was it came as a result of the current situation that we're living under. Correct. It was a response to the humanitarian need and crisis we have. We have a group of volunteers, or started with a group of volunteers. And to answer this question, what could we do as people in the West Bank or abroad? We always ask, what should we do? Should we just post on social media? What should we do, or how can we help? So this is to work together to help, or to put it at use to ensure that anyone who could make a decision or do something, they could make use of this information or this site. And since you've started after 45 days of this crisis, how do you feel that Mekla is being affected? Are things that are changing, the algorithms? If you can give us an overview about what's going on right now. Your question is very spot on, especially that just if the latest few weeks, we see that platforms are showing more aggression against Palestinian content, and therefore having our own spot, something as place our own servers, our own platforms, this website where we are not being hosted on social media, on social media platforms where other hosts are controlling it. We control our own content. We own the server. We have our own security restrictions that we set to protect ourselves. Then I can own the information and the data that I'm actually publishing. And this is totally different than just delivering our voice through others where this might be restricted. So we prefer having our own site so we could maintain it and we can protect it from being cyber attacked. So we have full ownership and full security on our content. In addition, we are able to make the content that we have flexible for use, which is on slingshot.ps. We're able to have our own narrative, to say our own narrative without being censored. And if it's the same story that we're narrating on social media platform, we would be restricted technically on how could we narrate our data or our version of what's being fabricated against us, because we also try to make sure that we bring the truth to the fabricated news and to make sure that people know that it's fabricated. I believe, of course, we do need credible sources of information, especially during such dire times. From a personal perspective, I felt that I'm sharing something because I believe it's correct, or this person is credible and this person is actually trying to amplify the Palestinian voices. And then after a while, I would notice that no, someone else has their own agenda against us, and they're misusing the piece of information that they've shared. So therefore, joining efforts in fighting against the fabricated news, and especially nowadays when there's lots of information being distributed to affect our morale, and to especially during social media, everything is at a fast pace. We always need to share information, so it's good to make sure that we share the correct information. I don't want to take much more time from my colleagues, because their experiences are, of course, very important and should be highlighted. Sometimes with our efforts in solidarity and raising awareness of the rights of Palestinians, we ourselves make mistakes. So we cannot blame anyone who's trying to help, or if they don't know what to do. I believe that our platform is good for those who want to start to help Palestinians but don't know how, so they can reach out to us and they can get the information from the right source of information, or after we actually verify the news, because it's very wrong to rely on someone or one source of information or one piece of picture, which could be generated, for example, a picture could be generated through AI and or artificial intelligence, and this could affect us negatively. For those who are receiving our messages, we need to make sure that they know that the information we are providing is credible and is true and is accurate. Thank you very much, Rafiq. Sundas, can you please tell us more, how was Hakini affected by the current situation, whether financially or otherwise? The number of people working on the project and so on. I believe that any startup
with their operations, or if they're working in Palestine, then definitely they would be affected by the situation there. The simply said, we can say what's going on right now, even for those who are not in Gaza, they're having a PTSD, which is secondary trauma, and this would be affected basically from what they see because it affects the productivity. Their productivity is not at max. And I believe this applies to all the organizations, even in the situations where we sometimes in the West Bank, we have certain incidents, then you would realize that that day there's no productivity at all. But if I were to talk about Hakini specifically, we have a full team working to support Gaza. As you well know, Gaza is a source, a human source and capacities. They have talents. Especially in terms of technology, we have minimum 5 persons working from Gaza. 3 are programmers, and they're actually females. And we also have a marketing leader, and we also have the search engine optimization specialist. And all of them had to be displaced, and only one was not displaced. So here you have more than one. On one point, you're worried about the delays in work. So you need to have a plan B or a backup plan. And on the other hand, you want to find a way to reduce the risks. And the main point, which is, of course, and definitely want to make sure that they are safe. You're trying to contact them. Sometimes communication is disconnected. And unfortunately, you would start having negative thoughts and you would be worried about their safety. And one way or another, this affects us as a team here. We're always under lots of psychological pressure. Every time you look at the news, you're worried about their safety even more. And when you have plan B, or if you're moving towards reducing the risks, then there are certain things that we can, for example, those based on their work, you can find a part-time person to replace that person or to fill in the gaps. However, you may have invested in that talent and you don't have a replacement for the services that they're providing. Another thing that I would like to mention, I believe what happened to Gaza, especially that Gaza had was dependent on working online and on technology. When I traveled, whether when I was in Saudi Arabia or in Dubai, even the startups that work out of Palestine, such as startups in UAE or Saudi startups, their whole teams were working from Gaza. I was very proud of that. So even those who were, what happened in Gaza did not only affect Palestinian startups, but also affected various other Arab startups in the Pan-Arab region. So they didn't just have one or two people working from Gaza. They had the whole programming team, the CTO, and all the programmers working with him are from Gaza. So imagine how much they were affected and how did that affect their work, of course. The aftermath. Thank you, Usmahan. Can you tell us how was your experience in Saleh? First of all, we have a different aspect. All of us are women. All of us are working women. We are all just double checking that all the women are okay. We're also working on one hand, it's considered a way to vent where they work. And also on the other hand, they need to be also in a good mental state. Many women who from Jerusalem and from the West Bank, they said, sorry, we cannot take any work right now because this brings up what Sundas has mentioned. These are women and people who are affected by secondary trauma of what they've been seeing on the news and all the atrocities that they have witnessed. Each of us is struggling in the way that they can. Each of us understand the way to struggle. In my opinion, I open opportunities for the largest number of women to work. So, of course, we need to continue to work, taking into consideration that we have 150,000 workers who were deported back from Israel. They used to work in Israel. So now these families are left without an income. So we're talking about even for those who we're supposed to be doing well. However, the situation is terrible. For us who are trying to generate income for these families, then we have to continue to work regardless of the situation. Women are unable to continue to work. However, we are creating new designs. The designs take lots of time, and all our designs start with an idea on how do we create brainstorming together and what could we do. This situation was not easy. The first 2 weeks, we had to put that on hold. However, when we started thinking again, Gaza cannot produce any products. And Gaza right now, I have to mention the same way she mentioned that in Gaza is very important. It's very important to say that they are the best in technology. They're the best in craftsmen. You show the same piece that was made in West Bank or in anywhere else. For example, for cross stitching, you notice that the front and back is the same. They're still good at what they do. The Palestinian dress, which was from the Palestinian Galilee, and no one is able to do that kind of cross stitching. Oh, it's only done in Gaza. There's lots of talents in Gaza. Gaza's unfortunately unable to be productive right now due to, as you all know, the current crisis, the current humanitarian crisis right now. We want to train women in Jerusalem and try to help them to continue our marketing campaign to ensure that all our products reach the world. And in the past, this is the very first time that we realized that our sales now has increased 4 times because people, which each order, they're sending us, thank you for being there. Thank you for helping women. Thank you for supporting women. So right now we need to stand in solidarity. We don't know what's next and what fate has for us. The situation in the West Bank is not any better. We're now stable. However, the situation could be at any moment could be up and down. Either we wake up in the morning and find 20 mortars in Jenin, and on another day we find a day stable and our hearts go out to Gaza. Aside from that, we need to make sure that we take this opportunity to continue to produce and send love to the world through all the cross stitches that we do with each drop of sweat that these women put. This takes us to the next question. How can we create sustainability on the long run? And the example that you have given us, now we understand that Gaza is unable to produce any work right now, and work should be taken in Jerusalem and the West Bank. And I loved how you mentioned that we are affected, of course, but now we're thinking how to recreate something else by having a new product that's relevant to the current status of the situation. And in order to motivate people to continue standing in solidarity and to continue to speak up for Palestine. In terms of Hakini and Miqla and Slingshot, how do you think, what's your projection in terms of sustainability? What do you think? Of course, I would like to reiterate what Asmahan has mentioned. As she has mentioned, we can create a new product or new ideas. But if I were to give you my perception, of the big picture, because we have a for-profit company. So when we usually talk about sustainability, especially for investors and people, they want to hear numbers from you. So you understand how much income and turnover do we have. But I believe that the most important thing we need for sustainability is the value, how much we're able to sustain the value that we have and the impact that we're creating, whether it's environmental or otherwise. So what Asmahan has mentioned is the same. That would affect us and we would not be able to continue this. If we need to be able to ensure that we sustain the impact and maintain the impact and maintain the value of that we are producing and providing, because this is very important on how to sustain that, because there's various ways to maintain this. Some people believe that it would be done by an approach of, for example, relevant to financial aspects, how to do so. Others feel that no, we need to stand in solidarity with each other socially, and how we can create partnerships that help us doing so. For example, most of the services are provided online, but for example, if I want to provide services in Gaza, we can't because there is no internet. It could be done by partnerships we have on the ground who provide in-person services. For example, we're not under the war, so we can help these people. Standing in solidarity with each other helps organizations to depend and rely on each other to ensure they sustain this impact. And as long as we have an impact on the ground, then definitely that would ensure the sustainability and ensure the long activity of this. I like the word and to stand strong together. This is exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to stand shoulder to shoulder in order to support Palestinian wherever they may be. So each person with their own projects, whether it's for profit or nonprofit, whether creating a social impact, we are standing shoulder to shoulder trying to do our best. Rafiq, how's Slingshots? What's Slingshots' perception on sustainability? Honestly, I have to be humble because Slingshot is still quite new and we don't have the experience or. And we're still trying to find ourselves. Every day we talk together, every day we have a meeting. We're trying to see how can we continue to work on this and sustain it. Aside from our relatively new experience in Slingshot and in terms of sustainability, I believe, and I give the floor to my colleagues to maybe to discuss this openly all together in a plenary discussion. Sustainability is part of the strategy of any startup. In case of a crisis, there should be services or human sources who are able to take over and continue the work in order to absorb the shock and be able to continue providing services. I don't think that it's something that we can check or build just on spot on just whenever a contingency occurs. So I would like to hear from my colleagues because they have more experience on this. As far as sustainability for a Slingshot, as I've mentioned, I reiterate once again, I'm going to be humble about this because it's still a new startup, quite a new startup. I believe that sustainability is in changing an idea, saying that there's a possibility, whether as startups or companies or even business in Palestine in general, has been trained to be dependent on support, whether it's on funding from a donor. If there's a funding from a donor, then we work, otherwise, we don't. And the idea is to change this idea and to remember again that we're all here as volunteers. Each of us has our own experience. What was complicated yesterday has become easy today because they got experience doing so. So this volunteer could help us and support so in our cons such as helping in content writing or journalistic reporting or rejecting and refuting fabricated news and knowing how to defend ourselves against it. So doing so without having the resources that by itself is part of sustainability. A person is able to provide something of value without receiving anything in return at the end of the month or without re waiting to receive any funds from any donors. I believe this is the very first part which we need to change the stereotypes, how we work and when we work. And then this brings us, I give the floor to Yaqeen or our colleagues to tell us more about sustainability because they have more experience. I don't think that we can start with sustainability Without including it in a plan. You need to have it part of a strategic plan. And as you know, we were spot on. Rafiq, you mentioned a very important issue. I believe that we are redefining things, whether it's how we work or how we used to work in the past, defining our relation with things in terms of what sustainability means, how could we do so. And I believe this this phase is very important for us because this allowed us to make something more contextualized for us as Palestine and to make it a fit for us as Palestine. And as Mahan, how do you think? Do you feel that this is a response? Do you see that this is a challenge? This is a response? There's a new definition for sustainability than ever was in the past. Is that correct? For us at Talla, all of us as Palestinians, not just Talla and Hakini and Rafiq and Slingshot, all of us as Palestinians, we need to remember one thing. The donor that used to have the policy of feeding us and making us shy to ask for our rights, I'm saying this and been saying this for years, because this donor is not there to really help us because they love us. They're there because they have their own agenda. I have personally been attacked when I asked people stop dealing with the Americans when they actually announced Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I have received animosity from hate letters from various people and threats as well, simply because I told them to boycott the United States. We cannot continue to wait for Americans and Europeans and anyone working in our country. Today, we need to work. They're here to serve us. They're here to help us. They have to, for everything they have taught us for the last 100 years, we are the decision makers. We need to make sure that we have full buy-in, that we need to stop and stand against them. We don't want to continue to have conditional funding. And I also want to mention that these organizations, which did not find any space for them in the West Bank and Jerusalem because people refused their funding, they found other people. So they have money, they want to spend it one way or another. And they want anyone to just accept their agenda. So it's very important for us to be fully aware of that today, whether if you're young or old, if you're experienced or not, if you have an NGO or an entrepreneur, you should not accept this money. This money is marked with blood. Each of us should not be dependent on this money, or because they're linked to policies, because this is telling them, yes, you can kill us, do whatever you want, and at the end, you can create a development project for sewage or something else. So it would be a tit for a tat, and this is fully rejected and fully not acceptable. Also, why don't we look at those experiences, models, worldwide models? If I were to talk in terms of crafts, as a crafts organization, whether we are for profit or not, I would like to look at other examples of people for such as in Africa. Africa is a very good competitor in terms of crafts. So I'm looking at what are they doing to sustain their businesses and to make sure that their products are found in all international airports. The very first point is that they have capacity building. They need to build the capacities of these craftsmanship that they want to work with. And me as a person, this is very hard for me because I'm all alone. We have about 300,000 craftsmen. Some of them are women, some of them are men, some of them are in the same field that I work in, others are not. So in order to create capacity building for these people, usually the government would be responsible on that. However, when the government is an absentee, then we as individuals are trying to do our best to do so. In terms of funding, we receive funding from individuals. I agree with Build Palestine right now that at this current situation, we need to create crowdfunding, because crowdfunding does not have any agendas. They're not requiring us to compensate or are requesting us to let go of our rights or compensate on our rights and compromise. So we're not requested to compromise.
The volunteers are important, whether for our project, whether for Sundas or Talle or Rafiq. Volunteers are always there to help. They're always there to ensure that our products are well known in various countries of the world while we are still here. So yes, we need to create a grassroots, or to create the foundation for this. We need to build the capacities of our team. We need to invest in the talents that we have, whether the systems we currently have. There's a new system that we have introduced. As soon as we introduced the system, we realized that we used to have to spend so much time. However, we could reduce the time now. So we need to raise the capacities of these organizations in order for them to continue and sustain their work. I agree with you, Asmahan. What you have mentioned is very important, especially for the organizations that depend financially for their sustainability on donors, especially if they don't have a clear cash flow. For example, at Hakini, it's true that we're for profit, but many of the services we provide is part of social responsibility, such as those services provided in Gaza, or those provided for survivors of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and in Syria and Gaza several times, so for free. So we need to have alternatives. And Hakini, when I wanted to provide the service for people in Gaza, I had another alternative, which was in partnership with Build Palestine. So we created this crowdfunding campaign, and we were able to provide the services for people in Gaza. So it's important to say that we have alternatives without any foreign agendas. So I believe that it's important, if we were to talk about the private sector, the private companies that we have, some of them which are quite big, and they have part of their CRF is millions of dollars. So why don't we benefit from that money? And why wouldn't it be an alternative for the foreign funds which come with a hidden agenda? And even the Arab countries, such as those who would be supportive to the Palestinian people and who do not have a specific agendas, why don't, doesn't it just be part of their social responsibility? We need to have this network, the strong network that includes the influencers, businessmen, people would fully understand where is this money flowing in from and where is it going, in order to create social change. So it's important for us to create this bond that would create us, that would enable us, sorry, to attract new investors, and that would be an alternative for foreign funding. Regardless of what we say, you're going to notice that some people would say we do need the fund because we don't want to close down our services, or we don't want to send home our employees. So having an alternative is, I think, the best approach. I think that's very important. Sundas, this brings us back to your words, standing shoulder to shoulder. This is exactly for those who are entrepreneurs, and also for those who are investors and businessmen, how they can contribute. In the chat box, there's a question about what we're discussing. The question is, Maad, can we say that there's sustainability for the projects in Gaza now? If I can answer the question, we're in the worst situation for entrepreneurs in Gaza. Many of the entrepreneurs have contacted me, those who had some kind of hope and they wanted to protect their project and didn't know how. We're in a very risky situation, because right now our biggest dream is to save the lives of people in Gaza. So I just want to, if someone from Gaza, I want to give them a little bit of hope. The next phase is coming, regardless of what you're going through right now. We know how hard it is and how difficult it is for you. It's hard for us to even witness this. And there's lots of things, good things that are going to happen. You're going to have a role in sustainability, and you're going to be able to sustain your projects, and you're going to create even a paradigm shift So please do not worry. I only wish you safety right now. And hopefully this crisis would be over soon. We're continuing our prayers for you. And afterwards, in terms of entrepreneurship, you're going to shine bright, not only in Palestine and the Pan-Arab region, but worldwide. Because right now, programmers and everyone who are not able to work, there are various people who are trying to continue working.
If we were to take this up to West Bank and see how could we sustain this,
As entrepreneurs, the biggest problem is that we have an idea. The idea would be great, and it would become a trend, and then everyone would start riding the trend. And then after 2 years later, I can tell you I have trained over 15 persons, 1,500 persons on entrepreneurship. So I'm telling you here as an expert, these people just disappear. They receive funds, and because they didn't have a full vision of this is what they want to do. In order for us to create a change in any sector, we need to work on long-term sustainability. We don't want to just walk in and walk out like nothing happened. Slingshot, for example, started, and then in the future they feel that they cannot sustain it, and they just go and work on something else. That's how I saw entrepreneurships going from one field to the other, and they would be totally in different directions. So it's very important for us to stand tall and to make sure that we work on sustainability. There are lots of tradesmen, and I don't want to say just women, and I don't want to say just Jerusalemites, but there are persons who had to sell things and write in any language. And I hope that my message is very clear. They just use whatever product to say that this is Palestinian because it was very hard for them to sustain their shops in the old city of Jerusalem because they were threatened of evacuation. So they had to sell anything and say that it's Palestinian. So we want to make sure that these people, we want to support them. It's most important for us to help them because this person holding, standing in their place, in their shops in East Jerusalem is very important because they are actually standing in resilience on their land. They're facing evacuation. They're facing various attacks. So it's important for Talla to support them. There are other people, for example, we have some craftsmanship is generations handed down generation by generation from father to son. So it's important for us. Anyone could volunteer worldwide with Talla, and we can make sure that the volunteers would be in contact with the craftsmanship that we have, with our human resources we have. So any person who wants to be an ambassador for Talla, wherever you may be, now we have an ambassador in Dubai, and we found a big difference. But when you have someone on the ground marketing Talla, then when you just receive a paid advertisement or a sponsored advertisement about a sector in Palestine. And the third thing is that we open the floor for donations from individuals in order for us to help, for example, and this maybe is not the best time for us in the West Bank or Jerusalem, but there are lots of women who contact me and say, Esmahan, I'm unable to pay for the rent for my shop. So we can help these people during these times to have flexible funding so they can pay the rent for their shop, so they can make the payments that they need. And that's exactly what we're trying to do right now. And Asmahan, I believe you also talked or touched upon a very important issue, which is the role of technology and the online platforms, which is creating new opportunities for us because that's a challenge for us as Palestinians to make sure that our voices are heard, especially that there's lots of fabricated news against us. And I believe having an alternative that we can use where some people are volunteering online from various parts of the world. Thank you so much for discussing this issue. Rafiq and Sundas, what do you think of the role of technology in the next phase. In general, Hakimi was based on technology. The whole idea was online and how it was able to facilitate the work. It facilitated the work to avoid the stigma, as it gave them more privacy. It was more convenient. People in mental health, they were dependent on the psychologist the whole time, but through technology, now there are supporting documents that people could read on their own. They could access the information without being fully dependent on the social workers. But unfortunately, with the current situation, for example, in 2021, when discussing Gaza at the time, we were able to provide services to a large number of people because technology was available. They had electricity, they had internet, and even communications was available. But nowadays, when we wanted to create a campaign for Gaza to provide the services to them, we noticed that technology itself was a challenge because we did not have the, any internet and any communication, and therefore most people are out of services. They're unable to access internet or electricity. They would say, for example, we need support. However, now I have internet, but in a couple of minutes I might lose it. So our role on how to think of creative measures to provide services such as hotlines, but be able to make a free phone call on these hotlines. This is the only available solution for those in Gaza for them to receive the services needed. And if I may, technology has made the people's life easier, but due to such dire situations, technology, which used to facilitate issues, now is the impediment, especially that we provided the services online to serve them, but now the lack of internet and connectivity and lack of electricity is a problem because everything is based on it. So now we need to create innovative measures which would be able to serve the current change and the current situation. And therefore, I reiterate again, what's most important is your impact and the value they're trying to provide. If that's your main objective, then you would be able to think in various ways and various of opportunities available. So, and I believe that we need to make sure that our role and objective are quite clear. So we need to make sure that technology is just, it is not the goal. The value that I want, that's my objective. If I focus and keep my eyes on the target, then we use different methods up until we reach our goal successfully and make sure that we provide the value that we aim for. Capitalizing on what Sundas mentioned, everyone goes into panic. Everyone panics, whether it's individuals or companies. So our role as technicians and people using technology, we need to be calm and we need to use this lesson learned and then make sure that we not only are trying to protect ourselves, we want to also make sure that we maintain the value. And just as an example, in Hakini, if a person is unable to conduct these sessions, maybe we could have a lessons learned to say that we want to have alternatives, for example, certain protocols to be used during contingency. So instead of, so people could use them or revert to them without having to wait for one-on-one sessions. So the lessons learned would be good if they can update and implement them right now. Otherwise, just doing so in good time would be okay for us to sustain ourselves. In terms of Slingshot, the technical solution was to have a website that we own, and therefore we would have our own freedom on how to access the information, protect it, and that has saved us the technical problems and restrictions that we are facing on social media, such as reporting and the media trolls that are trying to restrict our narrative. So this is done by our having our own website. and we control our protection protocols on the website. And as I've mentioned, it's a lesson learned, a lesson that we should take seriously in order for us to know when to capitalize on what we have. I agree with Sundas that we need to use technology as a mean. At one point, you were providing online services, and later on, it was hard to continue to do so. So you agreed, okay, maybe we can work with partners on the ground. And for Talle, they tried to do both, where some people were working in person and others are providing support and with partners. So I believe now also volunteering online is also good. Being very flexible during crisis is really important in order for us to avoid the panic that Rafiq has mentioned. So we would know we just not have to take whatever solution we have or sell anything or sell any product just to continue. So I believe saying that this is a mean, if this mean serves my purpose, then fine. Otherwise, I can use an alternative. If I may, Amin, I apologize for interrupting you. But also the question of sustainability is important because you as a company, it depends on how you situated yourself in the market. And I apologize to talk about services since Hakini is with us. Sorry, Sundas, for just putting you under spot. We're talking about psychological support or psychosocial services, ensuring that we have sustainability and being able to have our own decisions and to be free to do so. Then we need to go back to the basics of our business setup. Are we providing feasibility for Palestinians? Are we able to do so and to have that part of our services? So we need to see what are we supporting, what are we providing to the society? So in order for us to have the society support us, same thing as Build Palestine, how they created their own crowdfunding, and then the society would support them in such a situation. So people would be trying to think, since this business is thinking of me and I always get services from them and they're in a critical situation, then I need to support them. So we need to create this kind of partnership with the social, with the society to see if we're able to support each other that way. I fully agree with you, Rafiq, and I believe that now we're at a situation where we are affected by what's going on, by the news, for example, the images that we're seeing, whether we're in Palestine or out of Palestine. Of course, we have people that we care for, whether in Gaza or people that we work with, family, friends. I believe we're all under pressure. And I believe that our way of work is not just the normal way of work, as we're in a situation that's totally different for all of us. How do you see, as entrepreneurs, people who are trying to create social change, how can we take care of ourselves and the people we're working with in order for us to continue doing so, creating new ideas or coming up with new interventions? As entrepreneurs, what's most important or a priority for us is to take care of ourselves now. As decision makers and as change agents and those who are able to have innovative solutions, we need to have self-care. And regular situations, we would say, I want to invest in myself, in my capacities to relax, to take care of myself socially, and so on. However, self-care right now, especially for entrepreneurs, has a total different perspective.
Because as you've mentioned, we're all are subjected to secondary trauma. And as a result, most of the time we have negative feelings. We're feeling anger, guilt, and various other feelings. These negative feelings, we know that if we're unable to deal with these, if we're unable to manage these feelings well, then as a result, we're going to be subject to bad decisions. Also, we might have bad behaviors such as lack of concentration, lack of productivity. Also, we could take that on our employees. So, if we're able to admit that we have these feelings and understand them, and then know and understand that I, as a CEO or an entrepreneur, I have the responsibility to find solutions, then we can make sure that we shift these negative feelings and make them productive. And there are lots of things that we can do. For example, the same thing as we're doing right now, we can take this up to find solutions, for example, to brainstorm together and find solutions, to identify the challenges and find what's next. That's what's important for us as entrepreneurs. That's the self-care that we need to have, because all the negative feelings that we're having would be alleviated instead of having negative behavior. And we would do so by being productive and being able to create a difference and make a positive change, not only for me personally, but also for the whole society. So I believe what we're doing is important. If we're able to make sure that we find such solutions, an alternative solution is the best self-care for all entrepreneurs right now. Thank you, Sundas. I believe that webinar today, Build Palestine, is very important because it's bringing us all together from diverse backgrounds and diverse businesses in order for us to stand in solidarity with each other. And I believe it's important also for us to take care of ourselves and provide self-care. Esma and Rafiq, would you like to add? I wanted to say that, first of all, I'm a person. Some people are shocked immediately, and I continue to have the shock at first, and then afterwards, I kind of recoup a lot better. Since I train women on handcrafts and we sell handcrafts, the very first thing that I started doing is when women refuse to work because they're unable to do so, I took work with me and I said, let me see. And I started knitting and I started sending them pictures and telling them, look, what are you doing to support Gaza? How are you helping Gaza? If you are able to convince me, if you're just sitting and doing nothing, how are you supporting Gaza? If we all sit down and do nothing, can we help and support Gaza? I want to say that the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, if it's the day of judgment or the end of the world and you're actually planting a tree, continue planting the tree first. So this brings us up, such as COVID. People who are very close to my heart and my colleagues and friends in Gaza. I know more than 1,000 friends in Gaza because I've worked in the UN for 15 years, working with craftsmen and craftswomen. I have lots of connections in Gaza, but if I sit home doing nothing, watching the news and being devastated, I'm not going to help them because we're going to have in the West Bank, we're going to have the domino effect. So instead of waiting for that to happen, I need to manage my time, manage my day, listen to news at a certain period of time, send it like checking up on my friends in Gaza in certain hours. And then at the end, I need to come back to marketing and try to continue to you make best use of my time because my time is a message and a sacred message that we need to deliver to the world. Thank you. I believe that all the hand crafts provide some venting, and I believe this is very important for in your project because everything you all handmade products take time and need concentration, and also they would help people alleviate the pressure that they're feeling, especially for the people working with you in the project. So I believe this is the good news and has a very valuable impact. As you mentioned, what are we doing for people in Gaza, or how can we support people in Gaza? How could we take a shoulder, or how could we give them a shoulder? I also wanted to add, as I mentioned, as man, people who use the cross stitches as part of a therapy, so they can use it as a therapy. So if you wish, whether now or in the future, we can discuss partnership together. We have a full team and you have the craftsmen. So if you have your presence in Gaza, you have people in Gaza that you can access, then we can have people working in Gaza and the World Bank. We can do something together to provide therapy through cross-stitching therapy. Of course, and we also have psychosocial services, and people don't choose cross-stitching and they choose pottery. That's their first choice. But I'm very honored and pleased to work with you, and hopefully we can do something together that would add happiness or cheer up the people, the most beautiful people in Palestine, the Gazans. We hope that they would smile again, especially through psychosocial help and craftsmanship. This would be therapy, a Palestinian therapy. It would be actually a Gazan. What you're saying is amazing. And just 2 days ago, I actually ordered something cross stitches because I felt I need to do something myself, that I need to, because you need to kind of do something else to avoid the negative feelings, and coming back to our heritage and our culture is probably the mean. I want to ask you, what are the challenges and the problems that you're facing, and what message would you like to deliver to the decision makers? If you can share your experiences with us on that, that would be great. If you're asking me, I hope that the Palestinian National Authority, with all respect to everyone, and we are registered with the Palestinian National Authority, we hope that they would have mercy on us. I hope that they would listen in to our problems, because honestly, the way that they're dealing with entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs is totally different than the whole region. I'm not sure what to call it, and I'm not sure why is it any different. There's no such there's no exemption. Even if you have a social impact, there's no VAT exemptions. And I'm worried to use a specific word because I feel that the some ministries, whether it's the Ministry of Finance or the Ministry of Economy, is they have we want to make sure, I hope that they are listening to us because they have a major role as ministries. Because the impact that we want to leave is important because we are trying to access and reach out to women who are without income and make sure that they are generating an income. I feel that the tax collector is just coming back to us day in, day out, just collecting taxes. And I feel like ministries are abusing the organizations, with all due respect to using such a term. But the last 20 years, there are no changes to any of the policies, whether entrepreneurs or the social aspect. I believe the problems are the same, and they are recurrent. However, unfortunately, we don't re notice these problems unless there's a crisis. So the problem would be there, However, it would be magnified when we have a crisis and we try to solve the problem. It's not a bad thing, it's good. However, on the other hand, I believe that this crisis, we need to use this as an opportunity, which have been reoccurrence, and we shouldn't wait for the next crisis to come, such as we mentioned, the conditioned funding, lack of coordination and cooperation among organizations. And as Palestinians, we are quite fragmented in different cantons. We are actually isolated from the Pan-Arab region. We need to work on unifying our efforts, not waiting for a crisis to do so. For example, what happened in Gaza, so their organizations are out of work or out of service. Why don't we have partnerships with organizations in Gaza and West Bank? So if something happens to Gaza, then the West Bank could pursue the work, and the partner would be able to continue to take a shoulder and give them a shoulder to continue their work. I always say this, as Esmahan has just mentioned, we have this reaction that sometimes it would be an immediate reaction at a crisis, and sometimes we don't have the sustainability of such a good reaction that we have, or a good response that we have created at a certain point. So we hope that this crisis, because honestly, this crisis was harsh, and as harsh as it is and horrendous as it is, it was more horrendous than any other attack that we have faced in the past. We hope that this would be a wake-up call for all the entrepreneurs, where the responses would be sustainable and would not be just momentarily. That's what I hope. In terms of sustainability, this is should not be a response. This should be a premeditated. And in terms of the challenges that entrepreneurs face, are we talking behind closed scenes, just talking to each other, or in forums for entrepreneurs? Are we actually, as they've mentioned, are we actually being proactive, as Sundas mentioned? Are we taking this up to the relevant parties and talk to the main stakeholders and inform them? Are we being proactive about this? And for example, for policies, did we go to the legislators and knock their door and propose to them our problem? Did we even provide them with a proposal for a solution? Did they hear us and say no? Or are we just continuing to talk and complain about things without doing something proactively? And aside from each organization working on its own sustainability among entrepreneurs, if we are, for example, the Swedish are, for example, retracting their funds, or others are retracting their funds, or saying that we don't want to support the Palestinian entrepreneurship based on our 1, 2, 3, 4 policies as a response to what's going on. Are we able to look into alternatives such as Build Palestine, creating a crowd fund? Are the Palestinian startups are able to support each other if they have successful start funds? Startups, are they willing to create a crowd fund for those who are unable to sustain themselves? We need to find our own ways of creating sustainability for everyone. So the idea of never leaving anyone behind and making sure that we stand shoulder to shoulder as Palestinians and standing tall on what we believe. As you've mentioned, we need to be able to be proactive to say that yes, these are the problems that we face, and let's find a solution, not just talk about it in webinars or seminars. We need to propose solutions and knock on the doors of the policy makers and decision makers to create the change, the needed change, especially with these challenges and problems that we face. How do you feel that you're creating reporting and planning for your impact? You mean in general, or are we talking about the current crisis, the current situation? The current situation, we are measuring the impact by focusing on our partnerships, whether it's or organizations who have persons working in Gaza or companies working in Gaza or international organizations and local organizations. We measure the impact in various ways, how our outreach, as we've mentioned, we had enough flexibility to change our measures to make sure that we're able to provide it with the right means. So we're able to create the impact despite lack of having internet, a lack of extra, a lack of electricity. We were able to still deliver services. And also the nature of services, it's important to be able to provide the needed services on spot. And also in terms of measuring the impact is not easy at all. And it's very, very tricky. It's not clear. So even for us through our partnerships, there are organizations who have strategies which are genius strategies and they should be replicated worldwide. For example, our partnership with Build Palestine, because our partnership with Build Palestine, not only now, but also in the past, we have had partnerships with them and we believe they had the needed professionalism. They are experts in measuring the impact. And we were able to discuss this and brainstorm together to make sure that we're able to measure the impact of Hakini, whether now or in the past. So once again, this shows the importance of standing shoulder to shoulder with each other in measuring the impact as well. And we can have different elements to measure the impact. They could be totally different than the before or different indicators to use than the past. Yes, of course. How about in Slingshot? How is it, how does it work for you? Honestly, once again, I'll be humble and be honest about this. We are still new at this. Measuring the impact has been by checking the hypothesis that we've created, whereas we want to provide credible resources for the friends of Palestine who are trying to stand in solidarity with Palestine. What we've done is that we've conducted several interviews and phone interviews to the rights-based organizations in Palestine and those who are working out of Palestine. And we have taken feedback from them. Have you used Slingshots as a credible resource of your information? Have you used any of the facts and figures in any of your correspondence or any of your reports? So we checked whether they're using it or not. And the more that we notice that they are using our facts and figures, whether we call them stakeholders or beneficiaries, if we realize that they have feedback, for example, to say that you can develop this or that, or you can provide us with that piece of information, for example, it's missing, or if you put the information in a certain way, it's easier for us, then we take in their feedback and try to address it. Especially for those who say, for example, this is a product, we need to change 1, 2, 3 in order for this product to be useful for the beneficiaries. We're still getting feedback from our stakeholders and trying to make sure we adapt and address their needs as needed. Thank you so much. Asmahan? Protala, we work on three dimensions. First of all, is the social dimension. How can we make sure that we provide or work with craftsmen and women? How can we provide them with empowerment? How can we make sure that we provide them with the needed training? The other thing that we work on in terms of impact is the economic impact. How well could we sell our products? And at the same time, how could we employ? And also the cultural dimension is, in March, we've had the launch of a new project, which we called Cities. And the objective of this Cities project is to talk about each and every important city using the Palestinian pattern, because as you well know, it's different from one city to the other. For example, if the Gazan dress uses lots of pink, why is pink most usually in Gaza than others? Because they had some of the Canaanites' heritage, which is they use the color pink in their artifacts. So We have, for example, here you can see the yapa, the pattern of yapa. So we worked on the cultural aspect of it. We've also had a village called Herbia. When you hear Herbia, you don't think that it's an Arabian village. It's a village on the outskirts of Gaza, and now it has settlements, and the people have been displaced. And in the year 1200 or in 1200, people were there, and we worked on the cultural impact to revive the heritage of these villages or cities by the crafts that they had in the handcrafts that they used to produce in that. So in order to ensure for this, for us to have the greatest outreach we could. So these are the three impacts that we work on to measure. We started in the war and the beginning of war, as you well know, everything has de-escalated at all levels. However, we came back strongly with pottery because people felt that they needed to have therapeutic self-care. So the studio has always been booked. People are getting training on to use the pottery in order for them to make sure that they maintain their mental stability. We'll try to lift some of the questions from the chat to see what are the products that are ex most exported and what are the things that we're facing pre and post-war and the products you have from Gaza and how can we use the human resources in West Bank and selling the products is e I think this is question is addressed to you, Osmahan. In terms of exports, even the products coming out of Gaza, and I'm not talking about war in Gaza. In the past, it not easy for us to receive. It wasn't a piece of cake. And most of the craftsmen and women who are sending us the products, it was not done legally. Most of the craftsmen, whether in the West Bank, Gaza, or Jerusalem, they're not registered craftsmen who have an export license. But for us as Talla, when we decided to start exporting, we were shocked by the bureaucracy. Exporting is not easy for us as Palestinians, unfortunately, and even for companies, it's not easy. And there's lots of bureaucracy, lots of paperwork to fill out, and lots of paperwork to handle. So that's the very first aspect. And anyone who has a product, it's very important for you to have partnerships instead of me as Asmahan, as an individual, or as a very small project, instead of trying to export to Dubai, I should find someone who's already working with Dubai and try to latch on with them or give them my products to ship on my behalf because otherwise we need to work on specifications and lots of paperwork, lots of bureaucracy, which would impede the process. As for during the situation, every time we receive products from Gaza, we know that nothing is going to be delivered from Gaza on Tuesday and then received the next Tuesday because you never know what happens on the checkpoints. And I'm not talking about war. Sometimes the checkpoints would close down for no reason. Or as for experts, imagine the biggest shops and markets working, they work in order to protect themselves because I'm talking here about Jerusalem specifically. It's not easily to have your. So when they export as if they're sending a gift or sending for per person as an individual, but not as a company exporting any of the products. And the line is disconnected. We can't hear her anymore. Can you please repeat? We are unable to hear you. In order to avoid even the entrepreneurs, small startups, and even big companies, in order to avoid exports paperwork, they used to export it on an individual perspective, as if I'm sending a gift as an individual to Yaqeen or to Rafiq. So it's a gift rather than exporting to avoid the bureaucracy. However, there was shipping. There was Shipping Council. However, they closed down. I'm not sure why they closed down, but anyone who needs to export needs to be a member in order to export. And after COVID, I haven't found them, so I'm not sure what happened to them or if they closed down. I would like to reiterate what you have mentioned. There's also another question. What are the exporting channels that are available to organizations and individuals? There's the exports that, if I were to say, if I want to use mail, and in Jerusalem, that means we're going to use the Israeli mail, or one of the shipping companies such as Aramex or other companies, DHL, and I'm not sure what in the West Bank they have, but this is for individual. For instance, I took this piece, put it in an envelope, and shipped it to the client as if it's a gift from Asmahan. And the other form is using registration or licensing, and I need to talk about the Ministry of Economy in Palestine. That's not easy because there's a certification which is called Certificate of Origin, which means it's not easy to obtain that certificate of origin. It's not just a one-time license. It's not like your tax ID. Each time you have an item, you need to have a whole process of paperwork and fees. And then at the end, after you get the certificate of origin, you decide, after it has the weights and size and details and specifications of the item, then you say, I want to be this delivered through Jordan or through par avion, for example, to have it by flight or others. I would like to remind anyone, if you have any questions, all the attendees, please, if you have any questions, add it to the chat box or the Q&A box. One of the comments was about the donors' positions, which came at a shock, and now it's time for us to redefine how we accept funds, and we need to learn how to work and redirect our individual efforts. Also, there was a comment on the suggestions and proposals for volunteers and remote work and sustainability through the private sector and through individual funding through individuals. And also, we realized that cultural organizations rejected the funds. That's a good position. Or a good stance considering the situation. Before we conclude, if there are any stories or success stories that you would like to share with us, for example, any success stories of individuals or people who have joined you recently as a response of what's going on, or those who realized your impact and decided to join, please share, feel free to share. Honestly, if we were to talk about inspiration and inspiring stories, I'm not going to talk about the entrepreneurs that are here or to entrepreneurs or us, especially that we're talking about such a crisis and the humanitarian crisis that we are witnessing. I believe the most inspiring stories for me are the people who are continuing to work from Gaza. Everyone is devastated and they're continuing to work. Those people who are in the worst situation any person could ever imagine, especially those who were working in the front lines, whether the person's working in the medical healthcare services, whether it's mental or physical healthcare, and especially those working in the healthcare system, such as doctors, the nurses, the paramedics, the amount of pressure they have psychologically that they're able to continue to function and work and know what to do in order to help others. For me, this actually shows how resilient are Palestinians, especially those in Gaza. They are people who are able to withstand anything. It's beyond recognition and beyond understanding. They're able to work and save the lives of people. They themselves are in dire situations. People who are fully burned, third degree burns, infants, and those newborns who were in the incubators,
They're saying they're actually wrapping them in foil, in aluminum foil, which just to make sure that their temperature is preserved. So under all these situations, they were trying to find innovative solutions. They're actually trying to find innovative solutions and think out of the box in order for them to provide the needed services. They were, I was very ashamed, and I myself felt like, oh my God, like we feel we don't have enough support. We don't have sufficient investors. We are always complaining, and I felt like standing in front of their resilience, I feel humbled. A person not only able to survive, they're able to be creative and innovative. How can you find people anywhere in the world, people who are so exceptional, so innovative, to be able to have the mental resilience that's needed, the physical resilience that's unspeakable? I believe the inspiring stories from Gaza is the biggest inspiration for me ever. This brings us back to the changes as a person and as humans in business in general. We always forget that at the end, this is led by individuals. They need to have the mental stability, and they need to have self-care and self-awareness. For me, inspiration is the Palestinian individual who's rediscovering themselves, rediscovering their potential. They're able to volunteer. They're able to work even after five, so after working hours, being in our entrepreneurship, we have people who are over 50 who are saying, we want to send you voiceovers, or we want to provide you with content. So the moment that you feel that it's possible and people are changing the perspective of what is possible, there's a sentence that's being a trend right now, and we lost connection. I can't hear him. Oops. Seems like a big fell off the grid. There was a problem with connection, what I was saying, and I hope that you heard me. There's a statement on, or a big post that's being shared on social media saying we are different after the war. And I'm trying to see this from an optimistic perspective. It's true that after this war, we are different. We realize that there is a sense, we're going back to Palestinian centric. We're able to tap into our potential. We're able to tap into our capacities and to realize that we have the social incubator we need, not only a political incubator, we have a mental and social incubator that's helping us. We hope that all the entrepreneurs would stand in solidarity with each other, and we hope that we have an incubator that would help us financially to ensure the financial sustainability of entrepreneurs' work. We have a question in the chat box. In your opinion, what's the most needed innovative entrepreneur intervention? For me, honestly, from what I'm doing from my field and my field of expertise, I believe, aside from the political situation, I feel that we are generating an income for any human being is the most critical need. Today, lots of people have lost their income, whether due to war or due to a lack of funding. We realize that we need to create new channels and new opportunities of income, to create new opportunities. And through these opportunities, people would generate an income, even if it's a humble income. I'm not talking about a big income. It's just to make sure that these families are able to sustain themselves with dignity. This is my plan, and the plan of Talla for the next 3 years is to make sure that we sustain income and generating income for families. Rafiq and Sundus, do you have any? When you asked that question, I had a technical problem. I didn't hear you. So if you can please repeat your question.
what's the most needed intervention right now? I believe that each is an expert in their own field. They can deliver what's needed. In terms of the crisis, all the sectors have been affected, whether it's the health, education, mental health, and even the craftsmen, those who are providing job opportunities for people were also affected. I believe each in their field of expertise could highlight how they were impacted and then find the solution, because basically it's what you could do and what are the opportunities that you have. This is the best way for you to provide these services, or so each have their own sector, their own industry, their own expertise, and they know how well they can find solutions in order to have innovative solutions and creative solutions that would help us overcome the situation. Do you have any last words or any advice for innovators tomorrow? Usually when they ask me, what do you what advice do you have? I would have a group of advice or tips to say to believe in yourself, to learn from lessons learned, the cliches that we're used to hear. Don't fear failure, but I believe our advice nowadays is different. Right now, we need to think not only on a personal level, even thinking wise, we need to think collectively. We need to stand in solidarity with each other. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder, because I believe this phase is very important to build partnerships, whether it's locally or internationally. Anything with, of course, without any conditional funding, making sure that we stand in solidarity with each other, make sure that we think collectively, is definitely the way out. And this would help us all as entrepreneurs to help and be able to overcome the crisis. What's your advice, Rafi? I would like to reiterate what I've mentioned before, is that we're all in, I'm being humble, and we have to say that we're still in our initial stages. And when we redefine the terminologies as we've learned them, like unlearning what we know, and then those who are dealing with Palestinian innovators as and entrepreneurs as if they're in Europe or in the States, and they're not built to contextualize the entrepreneurs in Palestine. They're not thinking about the Pan Arabs. Of course, there's exceptions to this, but I'm talking about the mentality. The mentality needs to change. So we also need to take out to think about sustainability itself. What do we need by the sustainability for those in the States who are in a stable economic cycle compared to us, where we need to have our own term that's relevant to the Palestinian context, which we need to have sustainability for the Palestinian entrepreneurs, even for conventional work. So we need to learn how to do so, and to maybe this new knowledge would help us, or this new way of defining things would help us. One last advice or tip before we conclude. It's important for us not to lose our national identity, regardless where we are in Jerusalem, West Bank, abroad, in 1948 territories. Our own Palestinian identity is what makes us stand out. We should not follow our own personal interests. There are two women from Jordan who have returned, have rejected, sorry, their awards from the United States, and they sent a letter to Biden, and they actually slapped him on the face saying that they won't accept his award. You don't need to be a politician. I'm not a politician or even politically affiliated at all, but we're talking from the humanitarian duty and obligation that we have, and entrepreneurship duties and obligations we have. We cannot be detached from our own Palestinian national identity and heritage. So you need to feel, each of us need to carry our responsibility. We need to, all this bloodshed should not go to waste. We should not accept any kind of compensation or any kind of proposal or just accept any donation or any partnership. We can't say which companies support this or that. We need to research before we actually agree to work with any company or any or sell any clients. We need to really conduct a vetting to check who's behind that person. That's the most important point for me for now. Thank you so much, Sundas from Hakini and Rafiq from Slingshot and Asmahan from Talle. Today, the webinar was about the role of entrepreneurship during crisis. We have learned and got introduced to Hakini Mekla and Talle, and we heard about the challenges and the innovative and flexible solutions and the importance of joining hands and standing in solidarity with each other, especially in entrepreneurship during crisis. And I would like to reiterate what Rafiq has mentioned. We need to understand and relearn the terminologies that we have and recreate our own terminologies to make sure we contextualize it to the Palestinian context and have the major role in owning the terms and terminology that we have. So we would have we would be able to make a decision and understand what's good for us and how we can put it to work for us. Thank you again. I would like to remind you that this webinar is going to be available at Build Palestine website and also on the social media platforms. We have lots of comments. I just want to extend the gratitude to everyone. The webinar was great. And you can contact this, or sorry, you can reach, or you can find the webinar a link. You can find the link of this webinar on the website. Again, hope you that you stay safe and make sure that you do self-care. Let's build Palestine. Thank you so much, Yaqeen. Thank you, Build Palestine, and thank you. We thank all the attendees as well. It was a very enriching webinar. Thank you so much. I'm very proud of having you all among us and inspiring and such inspiring stories. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Build Palestine. We hope to see you in better days and we meet on better occasions. Thank you and have a wonderful day.